Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Fitzdog Radio. I'm your intrepid host, Greg Fitzsimmons, traversing the map here in the United States of America. A lot of travel this week. Started out, I say too much. Stop it. I'm in New York City right now. I'm staying at the a beautiful hotel in Midtown. I had a great couple days. Started off rough. Started rough, but we got here. I was in Janesville, Wisconsin, which is a town outside of Madison that is just, you know, it's just like a Midwestern big town, not a city. It's a big town. And the people were amazing. I talked about people donating clothes, I think, last week. They had a giant cardboard thing set up to collect clothes. And I said to them, this is so nice. This is clothes for the fire victims in LA. I said, but looking at what you're wearing now, I don't think the people in Hollywood, California want to wear the stuff you look down on, the stuff you're getting rid of. There's no chance that a corduroy sweater vest is going to get worn by, Steven Spielberg. They don't want your overall. I mean, it's so sweet. It was so nice. And these crowds, I got to tell you something. I work some very nice rooms, you know, the Denver Comedy Works and the Punchline. It's like historic, beautiful rooms. I'm working Levity Live in Nyack, New York this weekend. It's 500 seats. It's state of the art. This place was like in a building in the basement, small. And I got to tell you, one of the best comedy experiences I've had in years. The most amazing crowds. I was fucking killing. It was so much fun. But it was 90 minutes from Chicago. You're not in a city, you're in a town. And I'm kind of a snob, so I go to this restaurant called The Tavern, and I was like, oh, I better order safe, because we're in fucking Janesville, Wisconsin. I got a tuna, ahi tuna sliced in a bowl, in a rice bowl. It was one of the most well-prepared, well-presented, delicious meals I've had in years. And here's the thing, you can move to small places now. It's not like the old days. The small towns have great chefs, and they have nice state-of-the-art breweries with 51 different beers on tap, and they've got entertainment like Greg Fitzsimmons coming to your basement of your office building. Anyway, it was kind of inspiring. Shout out to The Tavern. So I fly out of there to LaGuardia. So I got to drive 90 minutes from Janesville to Chicago. I get to the airport, and there's an hour and a half delay to get on the flight because there's snow. And there wasn't snow at LaGuardia when we were supposed to leave on time, but some flight attendant didn't show up. And so, 150 people are now waiting because somebody was fucking hungover. We finally get on the plane. We get de-iced, and then we have to sit in the plane for another 90 minutes because LaGuardia may or may not be open. So finally we take off. We get to LaGuardia, and we start circling because the airport is closed. So we're like Mary and Joseph in Bethlehem, trying to have the virgin child. And this pilot, I'm not making this up, did three laps of New York City and he flew about 20 feet above the Empire State. This guy was strafing Manhattan, and I freaked out. I thought 9/11 was happening again. I swear to God, I thought this guy was going to go into a building. I'm like, why the fuck are you doing this? This is so triggering. I hate to use the word triggering, but I was triggered. I almost ran to the front of the plane. Like, you know, like, let's roll. It was almost a let's roll moment for me. Anyway, so we finally get, we circle, and then they finally go. After about 45 minutes, they go, we can't land. We have to go to Boston. So now we fly 45 minutes to Boston. We land. It's snowy. It's shitty. We get off the plane, and it's like people scrambling to talk to an agent to try to get a hotel. It was like the fall of Saigon. There was people yelling. There was arguing. There was little kids screaming and crying. At this point, it's like 9 o'clock at night, and I end up finally getting a certificate to go to the Chelsea Residence Inn. Chelsea, you have to know, is maybe the shittiest neighborhood in Boston, and it's a good 25-minute drive. And by the way, my phone had died on the plane, and American has no plugs. There's no jacks for a fucking phone. So my phone is now dead. So I can't take an Uber to the hotel. I got to wait outside in the snow for a taxi, which there are none. So finally I get in one. We get to the hotel. And I have not eaten since breakfast. And now they tell us that the restaurant's closed. Supposed to be open until 10. It's now 9:45. They're saying that there's no food. And I can't do it. I can't go to bed without eating. So finally, this one woman who was a Spanish-speaking woman spoke to the cook and convinced him to make some food for us. So we got some not bad fish and chips. And the only thing that's saving me this whole time, I'm a huge Rams fan. The Rams are in the playoffs, and I've got YouTube TV on my phone, so I've got the game taped, and I'm going to sit in the room exhausted and frazzled and missing my 3 shows in New York at the Cellar that night, and I'm going to watch the Rams game. And then my brother texts me, and he goes, I'm pulling for the Rams. This is such a bummer. And I was like, no. I mean, I get it. He and I go back and forth about football on the phone a lot. So I get it. He probably assumed us sitting there watching it live. But then I just watched the whole game, but I knew the whole time that we were going to lose. And they did, which was a double bummer that they lost. And then my room was so fucking hot, I put the air conditioning on, didn't sleep. Get to the airport. Flight is 2 hours delayed to get to New York. Get to New York. It's like 1 p.m. Check into my hotel. And then I go down. I did some shows last night. Went to the Stand. Went on after the worst. I won't even say the worst comedian I've ever seen. The worst thing I've ever seen. And he's killing. He's killing in the hackiest, most awful way. Everything he says is, and this guy over here is thinking blah blah blah, and what about this guy? Yeah, okay, guy, you got cum on your face. And what about this guy's talking about this guy? Everything was this guy. Talk about you. You're the comedian on stage. Stop talking. So I mean, look, doing a little bit of crowd work, I love artful crowd work weaved into material is elegant. But when you just this guy had the gravelly voice, and he was in their faces, and the crowd laughs. You appeal to the most base, but then when I go on, now they fucking suck because I'm a little low key, and whatever. So it was a bummer. Did I do well? No, I pulled it out in the end. By what did I do? I did crowd work. That's the only thing they would laugh at that point. Went to the Cellar, the Village Underground, and very excited about my set. And then Sam Morrell was on stage, killing, so funny. Oh, shout out to Mark, by the way, who just had a baby. Mark Norman had his first kid this week. I was supposed to be you might be drunk, but we had to let Mark be a father for a little while. And then Judd Apatow and Jimmy Miller show up. Jimmy's like one of the biggest manager producers in Hollywood. So they show up, and now I'm up there with a bunch of dick jokes and stuff about California fires. And I want to do well. So I scrambled, I did okay. And then, we all went out to dinner at the, what's that place called? The Marinette, Marriott. It's a great Italian restaurant around the corner. And now I'm going to do Bobby Kelly's podcast today. So, and then I'm off for Levity Live in Nyack, New York. I got my family coming out. I got about 40 people coming to see my show. So it's going to be like a reception. I'm going to have to host like a wedding reception after the show. And then I have another show after that. So it's a little overwhelmed. What am I complaining about? Life is good. Life is very good. And I'm enjoying it. All right, let's get to it. My guest today, date's coming up. Obviously, I just said Nyack, New York, this weekend, the 4th and 5th, maybe. And then I will be 23rd and 24th. Then I'll be in Raleigh, North Carolina, the 25th and 26th. Milwaukee Improv, January 31st to February 2nd. Then I will be in Vegas, Fontana, California, Atlanta, Hollywood for the Improv, for the St. Patrick's Day show, March 15th. That always sells out. Get the tickets soon. Ontario, Toronto, Pittsburgh. Go to fitzdog.com, get some tickets. Tampa also coming up. La Jolla. All right, my guest is great. He is one of my favorite people. He's a regular at the Comedy Store. He's starting to direct big specials. That's his new thing, which is pretty cool. He's got a podcast called Riffin' with Griffin, and he's a delight. Just had a baby. Here's my chat. Oh, and if it seems like we're behind the news, we did this conversation about a week ago. So as far as the fires, the progress of the fires or whatever, keep that in mind. Okay, here's the great Eric Griffin. My guest is Eric Griffin with a K. Eric, you can hear it when you say it.
Eric. It just depends on where you're from, too. Like, if you're from Texas, my name is Eric. If you're from the East Coast, my name is Eric.
Eric, right.
So,
if you were Scandinavian, there'd be an H at the end, right? Yeah. Eric.
Eric. Yeah, Eric.
And Griffin.
Like a Viking.
Griffin is an Irish name. You have some Irish in you?
No. I could. Who knows? I got to do that. I have to finally.
Oh, you don't know.
I have to do that thing.
Well, because your dad wasn't part of your life, right?
Yeah. So I don't know.
Like from day one?
Day one.
So you don't know your ethnicity?
Yeah. Could be anything.
That's kind of cool because like.
Yeah, because people want to know what you are so they can know how to hate you.
No. Well, that's what I was going to say is like you can go to any neighborhood or hang out with any group of people and you'll know if they don't like you. It's you.
Oh, my God. You're such a dickhead.
Can you
find a fatter angle of me, please?
Oh, it's the angle. That's what's doing it. Yeah, we set up the camera in a way that would...
Oh, my God.
No, I heard a rumor that you are getting a colonoscopy.
Rumor? Yeah, I just told you that.
Well, I'm trying to make this like the Byron Allen show.
Oh, where, please like, don't
where
do
you,
that.
Where you know what the bit is, and then you just set the guy up. Hey, did you do the Byron Allen
show? Yeah.
You did.
He would be like, so I hear you hate your grandma, you know? And then you have to be like, you know when grandmas be, you know, grandmas be crazy.
Oh, my God. I was obsessed. When I was on the road, I was obsessed with watching the Byron Allen show.
Yeah, what was it called? Comics something?
Comics Unleashed.
Comics Unleashed.
And then he did like other ones. He always had this thing where he owned that hour in syndication. So yeah. I don't know if you know how syndication works.
Yes, yes.
Basically, they rather than a network just having a show on NBC and all the NBC affiliates play it, syndication means you got to go to St. Louis and sell the show there. Then you got to go to Dallas and sell the show there.
And he did it.
He went to every state, sold it everywhere. But then if a show crapped out, he had another one in the pipeline. He put it right in, and they would all just buy the new show.
Yeah.
That's how the guy – he's a billionaire,
yeah, yeah,
dude.
Yeah. Yeah. But then remember there was like a big lawsuit. We actually ended up getting money.
He sued McDonald's for something about the way they marketed in the inner city.
Oh, God. Really?
Yeah. It was a class action lawsuit against McDonald's, and he won.
Good old Byron.
Damn.
Shout out to Byron Allen.
Yep.
Yeah, but I'm getting a colonoscopy on Friday.
This is your first one?
Yeah.
Dude, I heard the drugs. I did one, and I remember coming out of it, and I felt good. Some people feel really high for a while when they come out of it.
Oh.
That's the good part.
Well, I mean, oh God, I got to go pick up the stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know.
I heard you don't need to do that as much anymore.
You still have to do. You got to be cleared out.
Yeah.
What do you mean? You got to be cleared out, or they can't. The camera's not going to see anything.
There'll be shit on the lens.
Yeah. You don't want that. It's going to be like a bad gay porno shoot.
Yeah, you know there's like colonoscopy porn.
Yeah.
For sure.
It's just a camera that just goes just right into some dookie.
The camera goes down there. It finds like a guy's class ring.
Yeah.
Used something. Condoms.
Yeah, I don't want to. Yeah. And then it's like, you know, every time a comic, they get, it's like when a comic has a baby, they have that, the same baby material. And and the comics go get a colonoscopy.
Yeah,
and they have the like, oh, boy, put a finger in my ear. You know, it's all that.
I don't give a shit. I'll talk about anything. I don't care if it...
Whatever your own perspective is, right?
Yes, it's a new take on it. Yeah. I used to do a joke about the proctology exam. I don't give a shit. It happened to me. I had an interesting take on it, which is after he put his finger on my ass, I was sad for like 2 days, and I didn't know why. And that's a very interesting take because I think some people kind of relate to that. And some people
It just meant your father was right. You're a big... I'm not even going to say.
Not big. Little. That's all it's like. Imagine a big one. I'd be sad for a month.
Yeah, you can't have a fat finger doctor. It's
no.
Like, you know.
I think when you're meeting new doctors, you're just checking out his hands.
Yeah, like you want like Brad Williams to be the.
Yeah, you want some anorexic woman.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But anyways...
So you're checking out your ass. You're how old now?
52.
52.
Yeah.
I'm 58.
Oof.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I'm at the age where I recently went online and I checked my Social Security payout to see what I'm going to get when I retire.
Oh, good for you.
I'm like, I have like a stock guy, and he's like, we got to do your financial plan for retirement. I was like,
retire? I'm still going strong.
Yeah. But then when he said it, I started thinking, I've been going hard. Since I was in college. I started doing this shit when I was in college. I've never let up off the game. Other than the pandemic, I have never not worked every single week.
I get it.
And I'm like, I don't know. Maybe at 63, five years from now?
Well, for me, like, now I have to keep going.
No, I know. You fucked up.
I did.
Yeah.
I did. I regret.
You have a 9-month-old, we should say.
11-month-old. You know, it's still like, what are we talking about?
Yeah.
You know, and then I just bought a house that I'll have to pay for till I'm 80.
Right. Dude, do you have fire insurance in your house?
Yeah, you have
to
have it.
No, they canceled mine 4 months ago.
I know, but you have to have it on a new house.
Oh, right.
They canceled yours? Did you get a different one?
A lot of people in California.
But did you get another one?
Well, the mortgage company got us a fire policy, but it doesn't cover flooding, like somebody having an accident on the property and suing you.
Oh, God.
Like, none of that stuff
is covered.
But
just the fire stuff.
Just fire. Which, I'm in Venice. I'm not going to catch on fire.
Yeah, that's what the people in the Palisades thought, too. When you look at that map of the fires, there's nothing in you. If you live in the Palisades and you have a $3, $4 million plus house, and you're living in a neighborhood full of houses, There's nothing in you that thinks that if a house, even if a house across the street catches on fire, you're thinking, well, they're going to come take care of this.
Yeah.
There's no thought process that a fire the size of, the destruction the size of Manhattan,
yeah,
what's going to happen?
Right.
I mean, come on, man.
It's the embers. It's the flying embers.
Well, that's not what I'm saying.
I originally thought it was just trees and shrubs, which we don't have in Venice. I mean, we have very few. We have some palm trees and succulents. We don't even have shit that burns.
Yeah. I'm in Santa Clarita, so it's like this whole...
You're in Santa Clarita?
Yeah.
Where the fuck is that?
Santa Clarita is like Valencia, like going towards Magic Mountain.
Oh.
Yeah, so this is a big deal that I came here for you.
But I thought you were already in town.
It doesn't matter. I still... You know, you always try to get extra credit.
Right. Is that why you didn't call? It'd come when I asked you to do it a month ago?
Yeah, I know, because we had a doctor's appointment, okay, and it was like I would have had to have gone back and forth.
Because, you know, you're one of my favorite people, and I'm so excited that you're here to do the podcast.
Yeah, man, I would always love to do it, but it's just like, yeah, you know, now I moved out there. I mean, I wanted to get a house, man. You get more for your money
Venice,
out there.
You were in Venice or Mar Vista before,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
And yeah, but we had like all that area now is going to be flooded with people.
Oh, yeah.
Because all the people in Palisades, while they're rebuilding, if they rebuild, they're going to move to Culver City, Santa Monica. All those apartments and condos are going to be jam-packed.
Well, dude, my friend's a realtor, and he said that every place that he had for rent, the owners called him and said, jack it up.
That sucks.
Put it up 20%.
That sucks.
Yep.
Pieces of shit out there, man.
I mean, it's just like, I look at that devastation, and, you know, I talked to a guy, my gardener. Gardener? Is that what you say? Or landscaper?
Yeah. I don't know. Is that racist to say
no,
gardener
No, I just
now?
Don't know. It's like everything.
There's
a new word.
Is that like midget? You can't say gardener. We don't say the G word.
That's actually weird because he is a little person, which helps because he can really get in there and weed, you know? But the palm tree
doesn't hurt
like
his back.
Shit.
He yeah. just can pick. He just, he yeah. just, he's just walking around like this. Oh, we're terrible.
Yeah. So anyway, he said 90% of his business is in the Palisades.
Oh,
so
no.
So he's fucked.
That's right. You don't even think about that.
Right.
Yeah, it's like that.
Because it's not like he can suddenly, like, what's he going to start poaching
yeah.
other people's properties?
Oh, no.
Everybody's got their landscape.
That's terrible.
You know? And he's not he's undocumented, so he can't, like, go get financial aid or anything like that. So, and the other thing is, I just put 3 gates on my, yeah, I saw that earlier. Mustard or egg?
I have no idea. This is crazy. Just like fat guy stuff.
Yeah, that's the thing. When you get to a certain weight, you don't even know what the stains
yeah,
are anymore.
Or just ate, like, dude, I went and got some pancakes. You go to DuPar's?
Yeah.
So I actually went to DuPar's before I had time.
Really?
I hadn't eaten today.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, you know what? I want to get some pancakes.
Yeah.
But the thing is, they give you too many pancakes.
Yeah, they give you way too many pancakes.
So I said, I just want 2 pancakes.
Uh-huh.
And the guy goes, well, you know, we're still going to charge you for 3. You know?
You're looking for that 1/3 discount on
no,
your
but
pancakes?
No, but I was, you know what? Honestly, I don't even care about that.
You just don't want access to 3.
Yes.
Right.
I said, just can you like, I said, okay. I hate when you go to a restaurant and maybe you say, maybe it's like steak and potatoes. And maybe you say like, can I get broccoli? They go, we don't do substitutions. And I'm always like, do you sell broccoli?
Yeah.
Do you sell broccoli?
Right.
You know, and they're like, oh yeah, it's a side dish. Don't put the potato on my plate.
Right.
And put the broccoli on my plate.
Right.
But it's all about the cost. They go, well, we got to charge you.
No, and then you walk
then
in and you
freaking
go,
charge me,
can
asshole.
Can I get waffles and a sunny side up? No, breakfast ended at 11. Well, it's 11:45. Did you throw the eggs out?
Yeah, yeah. There's no eggs back there. They just take care. It's just they give you too many pancakes, and it's like sometimes I just get. Can I just get 1 pancake? They'll still say that. Well, we're still going to charge you for like.
Yeah.
I don't need the Lizzo portion size of pancakes.
Can I just say the obvious thing?
Yeah.
Can I address the elephant in the living room or the elephant in the studio? Yeah.
Wow.
Why are you eating pancakes? You just said you're worried about your weight.
No, no, I know, but occasionally, you know. I don't live down here anymore.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
I saw DuPar's
right,
and I was like,
right.
Oh, I love their pancakes.
So what's your standard breakfast when you wake up?
Sometimes I just have like I'll make a smoothie I'll make eggs. So I'll give the kid an egg.
Yeah.
My wife wants 2 eggs and I'll have 1 egg and then that's
right.
it.
That's good.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm not overdoing it.
Because it seems to me, and obviously weight for me has been the opposite. I was always so skinny that I was embarrassed. Like, I never wore shorts. I always felt like anybody could kick my ass. I was like skinny. But it seems to me that for taking weight off, it's about habits.
Yes.
Right? You wake up and you know you're going to have a smoothie. You're going to have an egg.
It's still
healthy.
Hard, man. You get to a certain age, your metabolism slows down.
Right.
And then you got to look up all this stuff about what you're supposed to eat, when you're supposed to eat it, like fats versus carbohydrates. It's like,
and
all
it's
this,
always changing.
It's like, I don't, it's like, God damn it.
Yeah.
And then I was, so before we moved, I had gotten a trainer on the west side.
Uh-huh.
And I loved it. I was weightlifting and the weight was coming off. And then we had this big move.
No, I remember that.
And now I'm out here trying to like look for another person, and in that time you gain weight back. It's
right,
so frustrating.
Right. Are you a late night snacker?
You know, when you're a comic, man, you're coming home or like, or yeah, you know. But now it's like, it's actually better now because I have to do this long drive at night. You know.
Yeah.
It's 40 minutes every time.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
From Hollywood.
Yeah.
No shit.
Yeah, it's about 40 minutes, but that's fine, dude. You like, if I had an 8 o'clock show.
Yeah.
In Hollywood from Culver City?
Yeah.
That'd be 25, 30 minutes to get from there. So it's just 10 more minutes. It's not like it's that far.
Right.
And you just get more for your money. We got a 5-bedroom house.
No shit.
Yeah.
You got a little yard?
Yeah, with a yard.
Wow. Dude, that's pretty sweet.
And then it's like, if you took my house and put it in like Mar Vista, it'd be $9 million.
So what are you going to do with all the bedrooms? You going to have another baby?
Yes, we want to do another one. So we got to do it right away before I'm too old, right?
Yeah.
But it is what it is. I'm going to make a podcast studio for myself.
Yeah.
You know, do it right. And then, you know, it's going to be fine.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I've always wanted to, I never lived in a house before. So right. Here I am.
When you grew up, did you live in a house?
No.
Live in an apartment.
Yeah. I've been in an apartment living my whole life.
It's your first house.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know. I saved so much money on my career.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you're a comic, you never think you're going to work again.
Yeah.
I don't care what job it is. Yeah. I don't care how great it is.
You've always saved.
Yeah. And you always hear horror stories, you know, and I was like, no, I'm just saved. Then wake up, and then I have like this money in the bank. Mm-hmm. But then, and then my wife had some inheritance money,
ooh,
which was like the down payment.
Who'd she inherit from?
Her grandfather.
And grandfather?
Yeah. So
how many grandkids were there?
Yeah, a lot. But it doesn't matter. It was enough money. Listen, man, most people can, like, I think that most people can afford the payments on a house. I think, like, you know.
Well, it's the same as rent usually.
Right.
Or less.
And even less. Yeah. But what they can afford. Is this, like, who got, if let's say you're going to buy $1 million place.
Yeah.
Who got $200,000 laying around if you're an average person?
Right.
You don't got $200,000 just, oh, let me get $200,000. Like, it just, that's the hard part.
Yeah.
But you can afford those payments.
Yeah.
So it's like the fact that, like, I didn't have to touch any of my money for the down payment.
Well, the thing is, when I
hello,
when I bought my house 25 years ago,
oh God, you got it for pennies on the dollar.
And also, down
now.
Payments were only 5%.
Yeah,
so it was a cheaper house. It was less of a down payment. But nowadays, I see young people that are successful as shit. You know, my agent just bought a house. He's the vice president of comedy at the Gersh Agency.
Yeah, but people all want to live beyond their means, too.
That's true.
That's the thing, too. They want to live in a, like in LA, it's about location.
Uh-huh.
So, like you know, you're going to, you know, a million dollar place in LA going towards the west side is a dump.
It's a condo.
It's the. Yeah, and not a good
you
one.
You cannot get a house on the west. You can't get a house on the west side.
Yeah,
for
$1 million. So if you're that person, yeah, you might be like, oh yeah, but that means you're gonna have to put. So you're talking about, you know, they want to get like a $2 million, $3 million house.
Yeah,
that's almost a $600,000 down payment.
And then you've got to pay taxes on that every year. And
yeah.
And then
even the taxes.
The roof leaks. You need a new roof. All of a sudden, that's
well,
20
we're in a,
grand.
We're in a new build.
Oh,
so
nice.
At least I have a year of the warranty, and then 10 years. You know, I mean, that's the thing about these. Like, you know, I don't know, man. Think of all the like when the like you say the insurance gets taken away from people. Like, you know, think of all those people that probably decided, I don't think I need to get this insurance. I think we'll be fine right now.
Right.
I'm sure a lot of people made that choice.
I know.
And now these like Blackstone companies are going to come in and be like. Yeah, I know your property is worth $25 million, but
oh no, they're already
we're
going to
give you
about,
six.
Private equity's already lined up, ready to buy properties.
Can we get this for $6 million?
It's a fire sale.
And then what are you going to do? Like, you know what I mean? Well, you're going to rebuild? You know, right. It's like, you're going to be like, all right.
Well, the thing is, when you get money from the insurance, they don't pay you. Say your house is worth $2 million. Mm-hmm. They're not giving you $2 million. They're giving you the cost to rebuild the house. So if maybe $400,000.
Yeah.
And so your property is most of the equity of your, you know, your home.
Yes.
It's the land.
It's crazy.
So anyway, I feel bad for people. I've been donating money to people. Like, there's a lot of good GoFundMes out there. I'm going to list one in the intro for the show. There's a guy who's a football coach in Altadena, and he's been there. His family was there for generations. He lives there with his daughter and his wife. He's a guy that's helped everybody in his community for 40 years coaching. Reaching
lost his
out,
house.
Lost his house, burned to the ground. Dude. So I'm gonna put,
In that neighborhood too. People like, you know, in that neighborhood, you know, there's like a distrust for insurance companies and the government and the media. You know, media. It's like, so you just kind of like, people got money in their mattresses like, you know, no insurance policies and shit like that. So but you know what sucks too, man. Is like, did you see that story about the guy dressed as a fireman robbing people's houses?
No.
They should burn people like that alive.
Really? Was it the guy from the Village People?
No.
Because he's probably having hard times.
Oh,
that
my
guy
God.
Needs money.
He was sucking people off too at the same time. Is that what it was?
Then the construction worker comes in next month to fix the place up.
He's still robbing them. It's like, oh, man. Village People are having a tough time. So,
oh my God! So, who's your best friend that's gay?
My buddy Cody.
Cody, that's a gay name.
Yeah, he's super gay.
Yeah. How long have you known him?
Oh, forever now.
Really?
Yeah, a long time.
What does he do for work?
He works at a drug treatment center.
No shit.
Yeah.
Oh, good man.
Yeah, he's good. He's a good dude. Very, very, very good dude. He's like a brother. I always tell him people that he's my brother.
How'd you guys meet?
God, I don't even remember now.
That's weird.
Yeah, it was like so. I wanted him to be in. Oh, I remember. I was looking for somebody to be in a video I was doing, a comedy video.
Yeah.
And I needed like a little gay boy to like. Because.
Was that the name in the credits?
It was
little gay boy.
Yeah, it was perfect for the thing. Yeah. It was this video. I did it with Justin Martindale too. It was a funny video.
Who's
and so
I think
reached
he might
out.
Be gay also, right? Yeah,
you think? He's in the dictionary under gay.
So is Cody in a couple, or has he been in a couple over the years?
He's a little bit of a whore.
Yeah, they all are.
Yeah, he's in and out of stuff.
Dude,
you know what I mean?
my friend is 64, 65.
Oh.
And
still out there doing it.
Out on Grindr. You know what? Young guys love it. There's like a dad. You know how there's like, you're a bear, obviously, but like there's a daddy thing too. Yeah.
You're like a former twink, I think.
I'm a former twink. You say former. I can still twink it.
Are you kidding me?
I'm a twink daddy.
You're like a twink that's been pickled. You've been freeze dried.
I'm a twunk.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
I was in New York and I was hanging out. Excuse me. Cut.
Is that from the fires?
No. I was like, a couple weeks ago, I went to Alaska.
Oh, did you do that gig?
Yeah. I went to Alaska.
Fairbanks?
Yeah. No. It was in Anchorage.
Oh, it's a different one.
Yeah. Good club, but I just got like, you know, it was crazy. But, I was in New York and I was hanging out with Gerard Carmichael.
Yeah,
you know, he's a good buddy of mine.
Uh-huh.
And we're sitting. Have you seen his show on HBO?
I haven't yet. No.
Yeah, he just basically spent $3 million to come out of the closet. But anyway,
it's like a reality follow around show.
Yeah. You know what I mean? But it's like, you know, only he would do it that way. You know what I mean? Most of us just say, "Hey, I'm gay."
Yeah,
he's got to do it in a show form. You know. But anyways, we're sitting in a deli, and this like quintessential. New York gay guy walks up to us. He's like 60, whatever. And he's like, oh my God, Gerard Carmichael. You know, and he's like, I love your show. You know, and it was just so, it was fascinating, the interaction. Because he was like, that's my husband over there in the terrible shirt, you know? Jerry, say hi. You know what I mean? It was like that.
Let me tell you, man, being a gay icon is fucking good.
Yeah.
Ticket sales. You look at people like Kathy Griffin or Margaret Cho, like the ones that gay people love, like they kill it. They've always an audience built in. I mean, not that that's going to be his whole audience, because he's a really good stand-up anyway. He's going to have the black audience. He's going to have the gay audience. He's going to have the, you know, what else did he do? What was his? Well, he did the Golden Globes, right?
Yeah, disaster.
Wasn't good, was it?
He just was like so. Only like he sat down on the steps at one point.
Yeah.
I hit him up. I was like, only you would do that shit.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Why are you sitting down on the thing? I thought Nikki did a great job this year.
Nikki killed it.
Yeah, it was so good.
Yeah, my friend Mike Gibbons wrote for her.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good. I hit her up before and after. I was like, just be you, you know, because she was at the Comedy Store one day.
Right.
Working it out. And she was like, hey, if you have any tags, you know, and I was like, nah, you're going to be, you're doing, this is
she
it.
She had like 9 writers.
I know, but you know what? Because they were so like, if you're Nikki, you're the next comic. And then all the flack that poor Joe Coy got from the year before.
Right.
You know, you don't want to be worse than that or perceived to be worse than that.
Right.
And so you want to kill it. Yeah. So like, good for her for doing the work.
She always does the work.
She does the work.
She always kills on the roast.
Yeah.
She goes out. I remember seeing her before a roast. It was at the Laugh Factory, and the roast was like 5 weeks away, 6 weeks away, and she showed up in sweatpants. With tissues, she had the flu. Not the cold. She had the flu.
Oof.
And she was up there with her paper, trying to not take a night off.
I thought it was great. I thought it was like, it wasn't too mean. It was like it was right amount funny. And then in her delivery, she looked great. It was just like, it was perfect. You know what I mean?
She looks good, doesn't she?
Yeah,
she looks great. She looks so good that I didn't recognize her. She went through a transformation where she started wearing the spray tan, which she admits. I'm not putting her out of school. She changed her hair. She started dressing better. And all of a sudden, it's like, I always thought she was attractive, but she's kind of hot now.
I got to tell you something right now. There's a shadow from your hat on your head that makes it look like you look like a little German boy. You know what I mean? It was like with one of those like weird... It makes you look like I was like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
No, but anyways, she looked good. And I'm trying to put it out there. You know, I directed Matt Rife's last two Netflix specials. And about to do another one. And then Nikki hit me up because she saw his last one. She was like, I love what you did. And I was like, let me do yours. You know, so I got to put that out in the universe.
Good
you know,
for
I want to do that. That's what I want to get into.
That's amazing. You know? It's a good racket. And the thing is like, I did a couple. And the thing is, I didn't charge much money. I was like, let me learn how to do it. Let me get some credits. And then you can become a guy who like, you can make some real money if you become a guy who's good at it.
But I like doing it. I'm also a comic. You know what I mean?
So you can give them taglines.
Yeah, I can help out. You know what I'm saying? Right. So it's like
good.
You know, I want to get into that more. You know, I was at a commercial audition. You know, and I was
what you had today?
Yeah, and the producer is out here talking to me, and I told him too. I was like, I want to do this too, man. I want to get into directing.
Yeah.
No, because the first thing he said to me was, he was like, the directors are in there. He said, you know, they're younger than I would like. You know, and I was like, oh, like fresh out of film school. You know what I mean? It looked just like that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Right.
And it was like a duo. I shouldn't even be talking about this.
Well, I don't think it went well anyway, because we had an 11:30.
No, it did go well.
And then you were like, all right, I'm done.
Yeah, callbacks are quick, man.
Yeah.
You go and you do what they ask and you get out of there.
What's the product?
I don't know. Actually, I signed an NDA, so I can't even say.
Do you ever get offered an audition for a product and you go, I don't want to endorse that product?
No, I've never. What are you talking about? My podcast studio that I do my podcast, Riffin' with Griffin, by the way. Where's my camera?
Outstanding.
Riffin' with Griffin. Come check me. I got to get you on. You got to come out to Santa Clarita.
We can shoot it here.
We could. I don't mind.
Let's do it right after this.
Yeah, Riffin' with Griffin. You know, they're always hitting me up like, Erica, this thing wants to sponsor. And I keep telling them, Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, what are we talking about? Like, right. I'm not going to, you know, unless it's like, you know, give money to the, you know, the swastika foundation or something.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they're not even going to want me to, you know, whatever it is. Who cares?
Well, I've done erectile dysfunction. I've done stool problems.
Yeah.
I've done dating apps, even though I'm married. The one thing I stopped doing was there's a product called Kranium. You ever heard of Kranium?
Right.
And it's basically, and they gave me a sample of it, and I took it, and I got high out of my mind. And then I looked it up online, and there was all these testimonials about, like, my brother tried to get off it, and he committed suicide. Yeah, it's like it's an opiate, basically.
Dude, anything is possible at this point. Like, I don't trust or believe, you don't want to trust or believe anything that, you know, I always tell people that my baseline for this kind of stuff is the actual Oxycontin.
Yeah.
So the fact that that happened.
Right.
Okay, so that actually happened. Doctors were selling it.
Yeah.
Doctors were prescribing it. They knew it was a drug.
They were refilling it for years.
They were refilling it for years. It destroyed millions of lives.
Right.
That actually happened. If that happened, then anything's possible.
Yeah, right.
So when you hear, like, RFK talking about the Wi-Fi, yeah, man. That could be a thing.
What did he say about the Wi-Fi?
Oh, he's like, you know, that it's causing brain damage and all this kind of stuff. And people go, oh, this guy's a kook. Do you know that if you look on your phone, that they have a warning on your phone?
Yeah.
No one knows about it because no one sees it or even cares. Right. But you go to the, like, you go to, like, your, you go to your settings, man. You go to, like, about this phone. You know, you go to general. You go to about.
Warning, do not put phone next to head.
You know what I mean? And you go to,
do not put next to balls.
They have all kinds of, like, warnings on the phone, dude. So anyways, my point is, when I hear, like, I know what you mean. You have a product, like, so you go, how did they sell that product?
Yeah.
Because anything's possible.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Who's the worst feature act you've ever had on the road?
Oh, that's tough. Come on, man.
Was there ever one, like, they set you up with a feature?
Oh, well, yeah, yeah, yeah. Those little local.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I remember one. I don't remember the kid's name, but I was in Canada doing the House of Comedy, you know, and this guy goes up and he bombs, you know. And then I was like, what was that, dude? After the show, I was like, what were you doing? He was like, look, I'm my bad. He goes, you know what? Next show, you're not going up if I don't do well. So when he called, when he gets off the stage and the host goes up, he's coming over to me. I say, so am I not going up?
Because he bombed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Should I go home? What are we doing?
Wait, why would you not go up if he bombed?
He was just trying to be like,
oh, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You brag, like, I'm going to do this time.
Right, yeah.
There's a lot of crap guys that are, like, you know, those local guys.
That club, is it Edmonton that it's in? It's a route. It's oil men.
Yeah.
They come in out of the oil fields. They've been out there for a month straight. They come in, and it's route. It's the kind of club where if you got balls, you can kill in that room. But if you can't come at them like saloon comedy, then they'll just start talking, and it's over.
I've had some of my, like hardest experiences in Canada.
Yeah. Well, it's a different culture.
I remember this guy.
A different tone than us.
This guy had this Calgary comedy festival. He was a real snake. I forgot the guy's name.
Uh-huh.
But, like, he, you know, so he would do this festival, and like, you would be doing shows all over the city in places that they shouldn't be doing shows.
Yeah.
So I remember the worst one I did was, it was at a bar, okay? The hockey game's on.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Okay. And they said, we're going to start the show the moment the hockey game ends.
Yeah. Okay. And if they lose, you're fucked.
Guess who was playing? Anaheim is playing Calgary.
Uh-huh.
Calgary just loses.
Oh.
The screen's going up and the thing, they go, all right, guys, we're going to start the show. And from California. I was like, you piece of shit, dude. I was like, and I know he did it on purpose. I hit the stage, boo, boo.
Yeah,
you know?
yeah.
But I was, you know, at that time, I was like, man, fuck you.
Dude, no, I was just going to say, sometimes that's the greatest thing in the world. Because then you come out swinging, and if you get them, they know they just got.
Now, my worst experience in Canada like that is I was doing, you know, Saskatoon. know where Saskatoon? It's a little town in the middle. It's outside of Calgary.
Yeah.
But then there's another town outside of Saskatoon. You have to take a Greyhound bus.
No.
Yes. And this and
who's
then
booking
they,
that?
I'm just kidding.
I'm kidding. Oh. I was going to tell you.
All right. The guy. It's a long time ago though. But the guy. Okay. So the name of the town was Prince Albert.
Oh yeah, yeah. I've heard of Prince Albert.
Prince Albert. But Prince Albert is a fucking cock ring.
Yeah, that's right.
Anyway. In this town, there's paper mills and prisons.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so it stinks.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you know, and you're in a bar upstairs.
Oh.
I called it was combat comedy.
Yeah. And then there's always music downstairs, dude, and you can hear the bass.
Yeah, the floor. It's just like, fuck you, you know. And there's a certain point when you get to a point where I'm just like, all right, we doing this.
Yeah.
You know, but your mama's a bitch, you know, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there was a table, right? That just was the rowdiest people.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just like, yeah, shut up, you know, and I'm going in and, you know, but I actually, when I think about it at the end, I had a great time.
Yeah.
Because when I finished, I was like, I'm done with you guys.
Right.
Fuck you guys. And they were like, yeah, you know?
Yeah, right.
So then at the end, that table, they go, comic, come over here.
Uh-huh.
And I get over there. They're all cops.
No.
Yes. They're all cops. And people that worked at the prisons.
They got their horses out front.
That's who they were. They were like, and I was like, oh, wow, y'all are the worst in the city.
Yeah.
You're the worst people here.
And I got you.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So
dude,
it's like.
That's a good feel. That's the thing about stand-up comedy is like, I consider myself a warrior. I've been doing it for 35 years. I started in tough clubs in Boston. I worked the trenches in New York. I've done the hell gigs like what you're talking about, Prince Albert type gigs. And I'll tell you something. When I get thrown a show like that now, I fucking love it. I love that I can break away from my material, throw that shit to the side, and whatever part of me let me survive for 35 years comes out.
Yeah.
That guy comes out.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I'm able to wrestle that crowd. And it hurts. It doesn't feel good at the time. But when you're done with that set and you go back to your hotel room, you go, I'm an entertainer. Like, I can do this.
This is what I trained for.
Right.
You know, it's a kind of talent that you have that you don't want to use, but you're glad you have it.
Pull it out.
You know?
Pull it out.
I feel like it's
like a street fight.
But I feel like that's why I still get spots in the city.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of young comics coming up and they're trying to push us old guys out, but you're not funnier than me.
Right.
You know, so until I'm still staying relevant, I'm still talking about whatever's happening now. I'm still doing it in my way.
You've always got new material.
You know, so I think you have to do that, or these young kids are going to come in and take it away.
When there's a rough show in the main room and there's a young comic, they can't handle it. They can't work their way through it. And you see a seasoned vet, and those are the shows that you really, that's why you booked that comic.
Yeah.
In case things go wrong. Who do you want to give your eulogy when you die?
Damn. I don't know. The part of me is like, do I want it to be funny?
Of course.
No, but I don't know. I'm thinking about my family, though.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about my wife and my kid now. And
roasted.
Like,
yeah.
I don't know if they – is that what they're going to want?
Right.
Like, what I want? Like, I don't know. I could pick some comics I know and be like, well, that would be – like, I could say Bobby Lee.
Yeah.
Like, you know, but I know it would be terrible. You know, Andrew Santino, for instance.
Yeah.
I mean, so I think, like, I don't know. I don't know if I'd want it to be one of my friends that knows me or it'd be somebody that, like, understands me.
Right.
You know?
When you die, do you want it to be instant, like a heart attack, and you're done, you feel no pain? Or do you want to have, like, 2 years? Or do you want to have a month?
No, man. I just.
Like a month?
I don't know.
Hospice?
I think, well, that's what happened to my mom just recently, you know. And
how long ago?
About, man, like 2 or 3 months ago, my mom.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, my mom died.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's all good, you know.
And she was on hospice?
Yeah, in the end, she was in hospice.
But
so.
Isn't there something kind of graceful about that?
It can be, and it was, because she, like, you know, it's just like I was on the way to the airport, you know. They live way in Oxnard.
Yeah.
So my stepfather's like, you got to get here. And I said, I'm not going to make it, man.
Right.
You know? And it's like, I, you know.
But you had time before that to say goodbye.
Yeah. Even still, though, it was like, you know, my mom had dementia, so it's like it's a tough, tough thing, you know. But on their last day, you know, my stepfather had her on the phone, and I could see that she was like not there. Mm-hmm. You know, she was like, you know, and I was like, oh wow, this is how you go.
Yeah.
I when I think about it, I'm going, glad she went out like that.
Dude, morphine drip.
Yeah, whatever. As opposed to like. Whatever that, you know, you hate, so when I hate the words, they lost their battle with cancer.
I hate that.
You hear that shit, yeah, I'm like, ah. Yeah.
Right.
Because that just, that,
now
that,
they're a loser?
That, yeah. See, that's why you have a comic do your eulogy. You know what I mean?
Right.
This what guy, 0-1 versus cancer, this guy.
Defeated. Yeah. Out of the playoffs.
In one battle. He's like, yeah, what is this guy? Lamar Jackson in the playoffs? You know, so yeah, man. So I hate those words. Because that whole wording sounds like, ooh, that didn't sound fun.
How long did she do you die of dementia? Like, how
well, what happened was, yes, you do. Your body forgets how to do all the stuff. Okay. But that's not what happened. She got a bad blood clot.
Oh. In her leg?
And it went to her heart.
It was in the leg.
Yeah. It went to her lungs. Uh-huh. You know, the thing is like, you know, our medical system is trash.
Right.
And you don't know it until you need it.
Yeah.
So young people.
Was she on Medicare?
You know, she had great insurance. It doesn't matter though, dude. When's the last time you went to the doctor? You go to the doctor, they don't know shit.
Yeah.
These doctors, you know, that's why our society, if you're a conspiracy guy, our society is being placated by medical shows.
Yeah.
You know? So we have this idea that that we go to the doctor and it's House and it's Good Doctor.
Right.
And it's Grey's Anatomy.
And they're fighting,
and they're
for,
fighting
you.
For your life.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something right now. They are not.
No.
They are not. They're more like public school teachers that have a class of 68.
Yeah.
And they want to help, but they just can't.
They're also afraid of getting sued.
Yep.
So they do the protocols. The insurance company set up the protocols.
Yep.
And if there's a drug that's cheaper, that's the one you're getting.
Dude.
And the doctors know that.
I'm telling you, they're not looking out for your well-being. Right. I went to one doctor and I was like, this, what? I just felt it. I felt that like, oh, I got to get rid of you.
Yeah.
I look for like when it says, you know, you look at the description when you're looking through your insurance, you know, and it'll be like holistic. Part of the thing is holistic. Yeah. I'm all about that.
Yeah.
Because then I know that person is
absolutely
thinking outside of the box.
Absolutely.
You know, preventative medicine. And it's just
doctor,
like it sucks.
I've had the same doctor for 20 years. This guy, Joel Isaacson on the west side of L.A., this guy has
Jew.
A file on me like this. Is that Jewish, Isaacson?
I just like saying that.
Yeah. I wish he was Jewish. I'd believe in him even more. But he's got a file on me like that. And when I come in, it's a 90-minute appointment.
Good for you.
And he remembers that I had asthma when I was a kid. He remembers that my dad died of a heart attack at 53.
Well, he's probably got that like Devil Wears Prada thing going on where before you're coming in, the assistant comes in and goes, all right, remember he's bald and his mother's name is bum bum. He's like, okay, thank you. But you know what? If they're putting that work in, I like it.
Yeah. Well, good. Yeah,
yeah.
Show me that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like when you call your agent and he starts going, how's click, 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 Owen doing? You're the keyboard.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
So I'm saying that to say, I think that like if you have an elderly person in your life and you go with them to the doctor and be their advocate, fight for them.
I know. I'm flying down to see my mom in Florida in 2 weeks to do exactly that.
But let me tell you something, man. When you're in there and the doctor's like, don't let the doctor be like, well, you know, your mom's. No. I want you to treat her like she's 30.
Right.
And so if you need to do a CAT scan and an X-ray, do that shit.
Yeah.
Because they could have caught this blood clot.
Right.
But like when you have dementia, they don't know what to say.
Yeah.
She forgets that, oh, yeah. Oh, my leg hurts. Did I already say that? They don't know.
Right.
And then it just got bad.
Yeah.
And then we had to make this terrible choice.
Mm.
Because it's like at her age, you go in for surgery. They don't come out of surgery the same.
Yeah.
And it's like, what's her quality of life? It was already.
How old was she?
82.
Okay. Yeah,
you know?
That's my mom's age.
So the quality of life was already at a point where it was like we had to have a wheelchair and a walker. Yeah. And like.
Was she living at home?
Yeah, she was living with my stepfather, you know, in a facility. But it was like independent living.
Oh, was it in
living.
A facility?
Independent living, though.
Was there any healthcare workers helping out?
No, not the way they should.
That's a lot of pressure.
But
on
it's
your
independent
stepdad.
Living. I know. That's another thing,
damn.
Too. And so, like, I'm not going to go in there. He's living with her all the time. And, at the funeral, I thanked him. I just let him know, like, without him, I couldn't have the life I have right now.
Right.
He being in my mom's life allowed me to pursue my dreams and actually achieve them.
Right.
And get married, and now I have a kid, is what she always wanted. And I have like a great picture of, you know, my mom, she loved babies. So, but yeah. I don't know if she knew, but she, you know.
Oh, really? Oh, she got to see the baby. Yeah.
Yeah, so
that's
I have
nice.
These pictures of, she was like very, uh-huh. like, oh, you know.
Beautiful.
I have this great picture of them head to head, you know, because she was like, so I'm like, okay, I have this.
That's nice.
And this is what she wanted. She always wanted this for me.
Yeah.
Because it's different. When you have a kid, when you, first of all, when you get married, it's different.
Yeah.
You feel the difference.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
You feel like it's different.
It's different.
And then when you have a kid, you're like, oh, shit, this is like a whole different type of thing. That, and I know what also makes you do, you, it makes you like work on your marriage again. Because immediately when you have a kid, it's so easy to, okay, this is my sole focus.
Uh-huh.
And then like with this person, maybe it was going to do something and you go, hey, why did you?
No, in our wedding vows, one of the things we said is, nothing will come between, nothing will come, will be more important than you in my life, including our children.
That's great.
Because if you guys don't stay solid, divorce is a fucked up thing for a kid.
My wife said to me, we had our kid, and she said to me, you know, you're still my number one.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, because this kid is eventually... He's gonna hate me when he turns 14.
Uh-huh.
He's gonna leave, and I need you. You're still gonna be around. And I was like, oh, this is why we're together. Because
uh-huh.
she's got that like in her right, to like right, say right. that something like yeah. that. So
she's also hot. Your wife's hot.
Yeah,
that helps.
Yeah.
I mean, if you marry,
hey, I'm on TV. Like, what am I doing with an old bitch? You know what I mean? Like, what are we talking about? You know, it's oh my God. This, you know, I always like, I talk about this on stage, but it's just such a weird, we have a very weird relationship
uh-huh.
with like young women, like this, like in their 20s, I'm saying.
Right.
Like these women in their 20s, we have this like weird, like condescending, protective.
You and I thing. Do?
No, I think society does.
Yeah.
Society does, you know? So it's like, that's why I always feel for guys our age,
or
in that age bracket of like 40 to and up,
uh-huh.
they get divorced or they've been single and they're trying to date, and then they're trying to date some 29-year-old, 27-year-old.
Yeah,
I'm going, bro, you're gonna get no grace.
Yeah,
you she got to turn 30, because that's when we start uh-huh. holding women accountable for their choices right. and decisions.
Right.
30 is the age where we go, all right, what are you doing?
People used to get married at 21, 22.
I know.
Now the 20s is the new teen years. They're still figuring it
out. They're treating them like that no matter what they're doing. Yeah. They could have a job.
Right.
They could have a career.
Yeah.
They could have their own
like
money.
A teenager.
They could have all this stuff, right. but if they start dating Leonardo DiCaprio, everybody's like, "That's a baby."
Yeah.
She's a child.
Yeah, right.
You're like, "Wait, what?"
Yeah. No, I got a friend who's you know, my age, and he got divorced. He started dating a girl that was in her fucking early 20s.
It's like,
and I was like, dude, but he's the kind of guy that can keep up. Like, I wouldn't do it just because I don't have the energy.
Bro.
I
want
to go to bed at night.
That's what I'm saying.
She wants to go to a rave.
Yeah, what are you going to do, old guy? What are you talking about? There's no way.
That.
Stop it.
I'm not taking ayahuasca.
Yeah. I always say this. If you want to have a family, if you're plus 40 and you still want to be a dad.
Yeah.
Well, you're not going to start with somebody 48. You
exactly.
know what I mean? I mean, that's just biology.
Right.
It's not always about like, oh, older men like younger women.
Yeah.
It's like, no, we want to have kids.
Yeah.
And I can't start with an old bitch. You know what I mean? What are we talking about?
Yeah.
They call a 36-year-old geriatric.
Yeah.
So what are we talking about?
No, I need you to outlive me.
Yes.
My wife's 4 months older than me, and I fucking torture her during those 4 months, calling her my older wife. All right, we get to a point in the show called Fastballs with Fitz.
I think I've done this before. Is this a new thing with the new studio?
Well, you've done it before, but there's new questions for Fastballs. What do you think?
No, I'm saying the segment is the same segment. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, I got it. Let's go. Trump! No kidding.
How would you do in prison?
It would be tough because I wouldn't know what gang to join.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It'd be whoever's winning. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If the Latinos are winning, I'm like, "Órale." I am with you, my friend. What are we?
use the henna tattoo in case you
gotta
change
size. I'm ready to go. You know what I mean?
Right.
If the black dudes are winning, I'm over there. The Italians, I'm
right, right.
The Jews, I'm what do you need? So it would be tough. That'd be being multiracial is cool unless you're in prison.
I like that. That's good. What's the closest you ever got to a fist fight on stage?
It was at the Comedy Store. It actually was a fist fight. A guy was heckling Nick Kroll before me.
Uh-huh.
And when I went on stage, he was still going.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right. So I got what I wanted because I'm a comic. You're not going to verbally beat me.
Right.
So I was giving it. This guy rushed the stage.
No.
Yeah, he rushed through the crowd.
Original room or the main
room?
Yeah,
the original room. Rushed the stage. He threw a chair at me.
What?
Yeah, man. It was crazy. And I threw a chair back at him. You know, and then like freaking Adam Egit was there. Adam grabs him, you know, and I fucking punched him in the face.
No.
Yeah, man, it was crazy. And then I finished my set and got a standing ovation.
No!
Yeah, it was great.
You killed.
Yeah, I killed it.
Damn.
Because I just remember like.
Well, standing ovation because there's no chairs left.
And that's the comic. That's why you get a comic to do your eulogy. They're going to take away all of your successes.
What is, have you ever joined any clubs in your life?
Clubs?
Associations or clubs?
No.
Comics never do.
Yeah, because we have self-esteem.
Well, I joined the Friars Club when I was in New York.
Oh, that's a different type of thing.
Friars Club was great. Yeah.
Didn't help you though, huh?
What about high school? Were you in any clubs?
No, not really.
Sports?
I was in sports. You count that as a club? Yeah, I played sports.
No, not really.
Yeah, that's not a club.
What was the sport?
Basketball.
Really?
Yeah, I was a basketball
player. Still play?
Not anymore, as you can see, but I did for a while.
Right.
I tore my ACL playing when I was 26, just playing with friends.
Jesus.
You know what I mean?
Wow. When's the last time you apologized to somebody?
It's probably my wife, you know.
You don't remember specifically?
Yeah, because I apologize all the time, you know.
Yeah.
Every time I fart, you know, or every time I, you know. I just, like, I know that I don't have a problem with that. My mentality is I'm a gambler. Okay,
yeah.
So when you're a gambler, you know you're going to take some L's.
Yeah.
That's how I argue.
Right.
I'm going to be like, I think this is right.
Uh-huh.
If it's not right, I'm like, ah, you got me.
You're right.
My bad.
Right.
But I'm going to argue like that.
Yeah.
My
That's
wife,
a strong character trait.
Yeah. My wife doesn't do that. She just wants to win.
Yeah.
So she's going to have an ace up her sleeve. Uh-huh. And, you know, she's.
My wife's a counterpuncher, I always say. Like, I'll say something about, I'll say, look, I got to tell you, it really upsets me when you blank. And then she goes, yeah, but you blank. Totally different thing.
That's a
counterpunch.
Yeah. Oh, no, my wife does that too.
Stay on the fucking thing I brought
up.
Because I'm not trying to like shame you.
Right.
I'm just telling you how I feel so you can be aware of it. I just need you to go, I hear you.
Yeah, I hear
you.
I will
be aware of that.
But that's how people argue everything, and I hate that. It's like we're talking politics, right?
Yeah.
And I might say, you know, if you're a conservative, you're going to be like, well, you know, Obama did this, this, and this.
Yeah.
And then that person goes, well, Trump
did this.
And my thing, I always go like this. Oh, which one you want to talk about first?
Yeah, right.
Because I'm saying they both ain't shit.
Uh-huh.
So you want to start with yours, and then we'll go. People don't know. Their brains can't function like that.
Yeah.
You know, they're just like, well, wait a minute.
All this politics is so stupid because at the end of the day, it's the corporations. They fund these campaigns.
Dude, no, listen.
They write the fucking bills and they hand them to the politicians.
Dude, the president,
and they put them on the floor.
The president is like the commissioner of a sports league.
Right.
They're just there to take all the blame and to be the figurehead.
Mm-hmm.
The people that are actually in charge of the United States, it's the Congress. It's the Senate.
Yeah, but they're all getting funded by people.
I understand, but regardless, what I'm saying is, it's not the president.
No. He's a quarterback that's getting all the calls.
Yes, man. That's why. Yeah, you got to sit next to Obama.
Yeah.
You know, that's what you know. He's like, well, I don't want to do that.
Right. All right. So, what's the last thing I'll ask you? What's the hackiest bit you've ever done?
Oh God, Jesus. Oh, some of my first bits.
Yeah.
When I first started doing stand up,
uh-huh.
I remember it was, it was like, how come there's no black people on Jeopardy? You know? And I'd be like, well, even if they were, you'd have to change all the categories, you know, barbecue holidays. Wait, blind singers. Man, and one of my very favorite.
That's good.
And then in that same set, one of my here's
and
another.
Instead of saying what is, you got to say what be.
Yeah. See, I wish I would have known each other. We would have tagged it up. That's why I sent you that bit, man, because we talked about it outside.
I was in a movie, so I couldn't read it. So I haven't looked at it. Yeah, I gave you a tag you used.
Yeah. Nice. So it's about that Megan Fox movie. But then another bit in that same one was, it was like, how come they don't know Clark Kent is Superman? And then I would be on stage. I'd be like, let me show y'all. Clark Kent, Superman. Let me do it again. Clark Kent, Superman.
The hackiest part is you redoing it.
Yeah. You know what?
In that second laugh.
Let me tell you something. I love
it. Yeah. All right, brother. Thanks for being here.
Anytime.
You're
man.
The best.
Yeah.
And you got some dates coming up. You're going to be at the Improv in Dania Beach, Florida, January 24th and 25th. Comedy Mothership.
Unless I book this commercial, but yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm doing a Mothership. Yeah.
That's April 11th through 13th. That's going to be a nice little paycheck.
Yeah, I love that check. Huh?
Comedy Club of Kansas City, April 17th through 19th. La Jolla Comedy Store, April 30th through May 5th. Get your tickets at ericgriffinwithak.com and check out Riffin with Griffin, which is his podcast.
Yeah, buddy.
All
thanks
right.
A
thanks,
lot.
Man.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.